What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Amen. You'll be blessed this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As I'm talking, some things will be jumping upon you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you talk in tongues? Zovra hatia, zebra koto setaria, zebra kato sebra hateglesion tola bradigres, zongrada ticlos tora bradere englozo tola bradianda. Has secreto zebra de glodon zola brahicra, histola predigon zola ticra, soxigra haferon dolis tele balianda. Talk in tongues, le blahali, stelelun, celebrico pan disoradica fast, le stolebia, gelodon zola precatura bangle, celebrica unsura bahatele lebu shataya. Ecrotuzulo branane in copanzela liburgo babale boco shepalia. Thank you, Lord. Hakretus, teve hete to setaya la baria. Egledon supra hategelon solo ture pregados arababa. Thank you, Lord. Maricatu sheketula bayalaba. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning I'm going to be talking about gathering the clouds. Amen. Hallelujah. The city is yours. Deuteronomy 2:24. Amen. This is going to bless you, particularly for ministers. So before, just to lay a good foundation, when we say ministers, right, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be on the pulpit to be a minister. That's very important. For you, you have to see, one of the paradigm shifts that happens is that you have to see yourself, even if you are in the entertainment industry, you must see it as ministry. You must see it as ministry. There's a picture that you have. That paradigm shift is very important. Amen. That paradigm shift is so important because many times, you see, because a lot of times the things that are taught, many times when we come to church, when we come to service like this, when it's taught, there's a way that you can separate it, you kind of, in your mind, you can separate it and say, this works for church. This might not necessarily work for the industry. But you have to understand that the same principles that govern. When a man of God will tell you that I entered into Abuja with just a suitcase and my sandal, and look what God has done after 10 years. That same way, a believer can enter Abuja with just his suitcase and his sandal, and after 5-10 years, he will say, see the estate that God has built. Sama is the same principle. Because many times people want to shift the paradigm and begin to think that it is not the same. You need to first of all understand that it is the same principle. It's the same principle. It's the same. Say with me, it's the same. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same principle. There are laws and there are principles that guide life. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about three kinds of wisdom: the wisdom of men, the wisdom of the princes of this world, and the wisdom of God. Amen. So wisdom is a technology for accomplishment. Amen? Wisdom is a technology for accomplishment. For you to do anything, you need either the wisdom of men, you need the wisdom of God, or the wisdom of the princes of this world. Amen? Now, the wisdom of men has a limitation. It has a limitation. There is a boundary beyond which you cannot break out of the wisdom of men. And many people, not you, many people live their lives, all through their life. They can spend from the start of their life to the end of their life not being aware that there is something beyond the wisdom of men. In Psalm 82, he said that, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. He said, but you shall die like mere men. That means that it is possible. There are levels, there are categories of life. It's possible. When Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus, he said, no man can do this thing except God be with him. It means that there's a caveat for men. There's a level beyond which men cannot function. Amen. So you see that a lot of times, even not just in ministry, in industry too. In industry, there is a level beyond which men is no longer for men. You cannot win in the courts of gods playing Mortal Kombat. You have to move from mortality to immortality. Are we together? There are certain places of influence you cannot enter if you are not spiritual. Life is deeply spiritual. If you don't have the spiritual structure, you cannot enter that city. What we're talking about that city, we're talking about nations. We're talking about influence. That means that you are able to command men and resources. They can put you in one position like that, like, you know, that doesn't command anything. But for you to command influence, you have to move from the mortals. No man can do these things. No man can do these things. No man can do these things. Because see, in life, right, there is nobody that has done anything that is on the grand scale that is beyond just the normal. There's nobody. I'm not talking about just in church. I'm not talking about just Christians. There is nobody that can enter the stadium and gather several people to listen to his music without that person being deeply spiritual. It's not possible. The vibes of men, if they carry a non-spiritual person and stand there, you will fall down there and die. The vibes of men will kill you. Life is deeply spiritual. So without spiritual structures, there are some things that cannot happen. And so there are some offices that a person cannot enter. There are some offices you cannot stand, except there's a level of spirituality that has to be brought in. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so Deuteronomy 2:24. So it says, "Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land." Now notice that we say, "Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." Begin to what? Possess it. Now this is God said, "I have given it to you. The city is yours." Say with me, "The city is mine. The industries are mine. God has given it to me." Now, so God said, "I've given it to you. Now, rise. Possess it. Contend with him." You know, if you look at it from a logical point, right, it sounds like, "Oh, but you have given me the city. Why? What? What am I contending for?" Right? But God speaks once. Twice you have to hear. It's like a scarlet thread throughout the Bible. When God speaks, he speaks from his own dimension. Right? Yeah. So you have to receive from your own dimension. And so, sometimes people can go to the extreme on other side. There are some young men, when you tell them, "Bless you," they say, "No, I'm blessed already." Yeah, well, it's too much study that has gone wrong. Bible says in Hebrews 7 that Melchizedek blessed him that had the blessing. Blessed him that had the blessing. Because God, when God does, like a scarlet thread in scripture, God does not do anything except a man institute it on earth. Every house is built by some man. But God is a builder of all things. But every house, every means any. That means that anything that you are going to do, that industry you are going to do, it is going to be built by some man. But the problem is that many Christians are on the external. They are saying, "God, don't mind me. Just do something." Mm-mm. If you are going to be an influential person, you are not just you have to be a co-laborer with God. That means that you have to have the same understanding, the same insight, the same seeing. You have to have the same passion that God has. I'm talking to leaders. So God, just do it beside God. Just do something. No. You are a co-laborer. You are part of the deal. You have a handle. You know exactly what is going on. That mindset has to go. It's not, "God, you know, God, don't mind me. Me, I'm just somewhere. Just, I'm unfaithful." It's your faithfulness. No, you have to be faithful to this one. Every house is built by some man. Any house is built by some. It's not just an accident. I ever seen anybody winning the Olympics? You say, "We don't win it by mistake." You don't win the Olympics by mistake. You can win street football by mistake, but you cannot win Olympics by mistake. If you are moving from street football to Olympics, you don't win it by... Nobody wins the Olympics by mistake. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's organized. He's self-controlled. He's regulated in all things, not some things. Every man that strives for the masteries, not for street football,
If you are going for the masteries, if you are going for the cities, you have to be regulated in all things. Regulated. 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 It's not just like that. Regulated. In all things, not some things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke 16. This is a story about what we call the unjust reward. Amen? Hallelujah. Luke 16, verse 3 and 4. Now, so this steward, they're going to put him out of business. His master was going to put him out of business because they reported, you know, you have not been faithful. And then he said that my master is going to put me out of business, right? The guy was, he's an unjust guy. See what he said? He said, what am I going to do for my Lord take it away from me, the stewardship? Say, I cannot dig to beg a machine. This is even a guy that's not supposed to have mouth. He still say he cannot dig. You're unjust. You're a native. He said he cannot dig, he cannot beg. But I love this guy. Bible said that Jesus commended him. Now, Jesus did not commend him for being unjust. Mm-mm. Jesus did not commend him. And Jesus commended the unjust steward because the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. What Jesus was commending was his ability to function in his generation or his ability to function within the caveat of his wisdom. There are three kinds of wisdom within the limits of men. There are three kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom of men, wisdom of God, wisdom of the person of this world. Now, within the wisdom of men, there are also three kinds. Within the wisdom of men, a man can either beg, dig, or verse 4, resolve what to do, enter into the intangibles. Within the wisdom of men, he says that the man is wise in his own generation. That means in his own, as a man, this is how to move forward within the wisdom of men. So if you're not doing what he did in verse 4, entering the intangibles, then you have to be digging or begging. Amen. And you see, many times, sir, this is what hurts. A lot of Christians are either begging or digging. The man is a musician. God has given you the talent to be a musician. You know, there is official begging with style. Yes. Uh-huh. You know, come and meet Reverend Chokula. When I go, this is my album. Just listen to it. When did you say Faith Adventure is again? Okay. I can sing. That's begging. How much is that going to do for you? Then there is digging. I do something for you, you do something for me in return. Right? So you are planning to sing for Faith Adventure next year. You know, every morning you call, Reverend Tokula, how are you doing? I just check whether the temperature is okay where you are. You know, he said temperature is fine. That's digging. But this guy said, I cannot beg and I'm not going to dig. Verse 4 says, I'm resolved what to do. So that when I fail, they will receive me into everlasting habitation. That everlasting habitation is not talking about heaven on earth. Or heaven or earth. Which one? What am I saying? It's not talking about heaven. Are we together? Everlasting habitation is talking about things that cannot be seen. That means that I go to the end. How much are you owing? 80, right? I owe 100, right? 80. And then he walks away and does not collect anything. He is trusting in unseen forces. He is trusting in divine energy. He is trusting in structures that cannot be seen. Structures that cannot be seen. He is trusting in that same thing that will make a man walk into Abuja and say, I came into Abuja with nothing, no. We just, remember, my shoe and my suitcase. But the guy was not coming just like that. He came with something. Something that cannot be seen. If I can turn your mind this morning to understand that life is spiritual and the most important thing are spiritual structures, it will change everything for you. The most important thing are spiritual structures. Spiritual structures. Spiritual structures are the most important things. Because many times people are trying their best. They are doing all they can. But spiritual structures are first and foremost most important. Save me spiritual structures. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see how we'll go with this now. Clear brush to Araba. Talking tongues. Rabarista. Zele. Doshai, good to see you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Pradis talabusha taliana. Thank you, Lord. So this man, Jesus commended him. The man said, I'm resolved what I'm going to do. Guess what he did? Now, you know, this is what Jesus commended. What he did was Jesus commended. This is what he did. He understood the intangibles. He goes to the master, to his master's guys, has a deal with them. But guess what? He didn't go with anything. He walked away. He walked away. Because now you understand that begging or digging are physical things. If I beg, I know what you're going to give me. Or if I dig, I mean, digging is maybe I work for 30 days and then they pay me 30,000. You know, that's digging. Amen. No, don't be discouraged. I dig too. But the Bible says that let him labor so that he may have to enter the intangibles. The essence of digging is so that you will have, so that you use it to enter into the intangibles to give. Amen. Yeah. So nothing wrong with digging, but just know the purpose of digging. Amen. So what Jesus was commending for this guy was his ability to play around with this thing. He walked away. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. You start seeing how this operates. Because many times it is people being able to switch from begging, digging, because these principles of digging do not work for the intangibles or for gathering the clouds. And many times it is the switch that is the problem. Because the fact that the principles that you understood when you were digging worked for you does not mean that you should stay with it till forever. Because when the atmosphere changes, you too, you have to upgrade your strategy. Oh, yeah, I know. You know the problem. This is how we have been doing it since. I have been a faithful worker in this office. This is how I've been doing it. My own is to cut my work 8 o'clock. I don't do it. I just work, and I believe that things will work. Guess what? That principle will work up to an extent, but there's a place where you have to switch. You have to switch. And it is that place, because you're already accustomed to a particular way that it works. Then when the new systems are introduced, if you don't learn the switch, that failure happens. In 2 Kings 3, you see the Moabite king. He was digging. Pound per pound. You bring army, I bring army. You bring special forces, I bring special forces. You do, I do. Then the guy saw that this switching, this was not working. The next thing, he had to switch. Now the switch means that the same principles that you are applying in that your shop, there's a place where those physical principles of digging will no longer be able to make any more difference. It's in the military, we call it accumulating point. Don't worry. We call it accumulating point. It's the point at which any more extra effort you add will not change anything. At that moment, the game has changed. If you do not learn to do the switch, the switch is not the same formula. It's not the previous thing that you've learned. The thing has changed completely. In this new switch, guess what? This guy in 2 Kings, the Moabite king, he was fighting. Carrying special force. He knew how to fight physically. He knew how to dig. But the next moment, I could just imagine his son. Bible said that he took his eldest son that was already said and slew him on the altar. I could just imagine his son asking his father, what has we fighting the Israelite got to do with you killing me? The two do not join. Because when you do the switch into the intangible, there is a drastic difference between the principles and the techniques in digging and the principles and the techniques when you enter into the ethereal. In Ecclesiastes 11, it begins to show us the principles. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters. And after many days, you will find it. That waters, right, is running water, flood. That means that if you cast your bread on that flood, guess what? As you are putting it, it's going. You won't see it. That man in Luke 16 went. He dropped. He told him, how much are you owing? 100. Write 80. And he walked away. He didn't say, give me the remaining 20 balance. Did you see it in Luke 16? No. He left it to their discretion. Because at a certain level of that switch, you are working with trust. Trust. T-R-U-S-T. Not digging. In digging, is what we strike as deal. That means that if you don't understand the principles of the ethereal, you can never be a politician. When you enter this realm, this is now the Game of Thrones proper. This is the real Game of Thrones, where gods battle. It's not the same principle. You don't cast it and see it in the same place. He said, cast your bread upon the running waters. It will go. But guess what? After many days, you will find it. Entering into the intangibles is a place of prayer.
It's in the place of sowing your seed. It's in the place of hanging on the walls of prophecy. Hallelujah. So, you know, you see, because many times, this place of switching is where a lot of times Christians find the mixture a little bit difficult. Because sometimes in an attempt to emphasize the spiritual, so to speak, that sowing of your seed, prayer, we maybe sometimes de-emphasize the physical. That is the wisdom of men. But God, the wisdom of men is not the wisdom of the devil. It's God that gave the wisdom of men to men. You're supposed to use it. You didn't understand what I said. You're supposed to. It's not. There's the wisdom of the princes of this world that come, but the wisdom of men has a limitation, but it is God that gave it. That means that in that your corporation, or maybe your ministry, you must understand ministry etiquette and ethics. Amen. You must understand people management, crisis management. You must. You must be a specialist. If you are into computing, you must know it. Know it. Know it. Say with me, know it. Yeah, you must. Because one man came to Bishop Oyedepo and said, sir, in one word, Pastor Atom, in one word, can you tell me the secret of ministry? In one word, in a nutshell, sir, tell me the secret of ministry, just in a nutshell. Bishop Oyedepo said, there are many knots inside that shell. Inside that shell, you are seeing, there are many knots inside that shell. Because, you see, those wisdom of men are like the minors in music. You know, they have major keys and minor keys. They're like the minors. For you to produce a beautiful life, you have to have the minors and the majors. It's a combination. You can get the music with the majors. But if you want a beautiful life, you can combine the minors and the majors. Amen. So those are important, right? But today I'm talking about the intangibles, amen. I'm talking about gathering the clouds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in your business, right? In your business, be a specialist. In ministry, study, gather the books, study, sit down and study. So we're not just raising believers. We're raising believers that they are crazy with God in their secret place. When they come out, they wear their tie. They don't speak in tongues when they come out and sit in that boardroom. They just talk to you with the most, the best kind of vocabulary. You are sitting in the boardroom. You will not know that they've done something. It's that combination. You come to the boardroom, you are talking specialist language. In my profession, that's what I do. I'm a specialist to the core. Right now, where I'm teaching, the college directing staff. Now, so where I work, right, the people that teach alongside with me, directing staff, the other directing staff with alongside me, all of them are at least is 4 years or 5 years my senior. We're in the same category. And guess what? They pay us the same allowance. Why? It's God lifting you. But of course, it is your ability to know exactly what you are doing in your field. Because it's not everything that is demon problem. You come to your office, boss sack you, you say, my boss has demon. Come on, Reverend Tokola, come and cast. No, it's because you have been coming late. You are spoiling work for them. They have to sack you. It's not binding and casting. Mm-mm. It's not binding and casting. It's not everything that is demon. It's a simple problem. If this mic is not working, it's not, check battery. When you check battery, check everything. It should work. It's a perfected system. It should. But if you check everything and it doesn't work, then you have to switch. Glory to God. Amen. So now. So in this intangibles, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters. After many days you shall find it. That means that you don't necessarily reap where you sow, but you sow what you reap. You don't necessarily reap where you sow. That means that a man that understands these things can join himself in an organization and tell them, don't pay me any salary. He's in intangibles. I can come and be serving Reverend Tokola. He's in time. He says, sir, don't pay me. You don't reap where you sow. You know, you're in the ministry, you're now calculating. Reverend Tokola, hey. One day, you shake body. Mm-mm. When you enter the intangibles, you will know that the universe will respond to you. You are trusting the universe. Hey, Kaya Makatalia. I get excited here. Hey,
You are trusting the universe. You understand? It's a system. It's a system. I was telling my wife, I said the other, I don't know what I did. I said, whether I slept wrongly or the pillow was not good where I was. And then I woke up with a pain on my neck. And I was just thinking. And then all of a sudden, I just thought, I need to lay my hands on myself. And when I laid my hands on myself, you know that feeling that, well, I hope it will work. Then all of a sudden, it just came out of my spirit. It's a proven system. When you lay your hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm not hoping that God should move. No, it's a system that works. If you cast your bread upon the waters, guess what? It's a system. It's not about whether God is going to shake body. No. It's a system that is guaranteed to produce results. It will work, sir. It will work. Cast your bread. That is why some people have that kind of assurance. They will enter a city. They will enter knowing that, listen, this thing will work. Prayer is a principle. In James 5, you see, he said, and the prayer of faith shall raise the sick, and the Lord shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. What what he's putting out is that it's a principle. If a man pray, God will answer. It's a principle. Oh, that you trust the principle. In Job 13, he said, do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Do you know? That means that there are laws that you can use to regulate it. A man can sit down and tell you that, look, this is my business. It can never fail. The same way that the Reverend Tukula can tell you that, look, Christ Family Ministry, we have settled it. We are going to the ends of the earth. That's the same way you can look at your business and say, this business that we started, this business, it cannot fail. They say, how can you say that? He said, it is settled. There is something you know. You have entered into the system, the intangibles. You have entered. It's not guesswork. It's not guesswork, sir. There's a place for sureness that you are taking the city. Exodus 11 gives us so much insight into this thing. Amen. It says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Give a portion to 7, another portion to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be. Don't get thrown off by the evil. Don't worry. Wait to be explained. Because some people are too faith and positive that if you see evil, they don't ever read it again. So stay with me. Stay with me. Amen. That evil he's talking about is a life. Things will happen. In the world, you have tribulations. Amen. Say amen. It's in the Bible. It's not me. I didn't say it. I say in the world, you will have tribulation. But guess what? Be of good cheer. Hey, yeah. Hey. Be of good cheer. The story does not end at you having tribulation. Be of good cheer. You have overcome the world. Amen. It's a principle that works for you. He said, give a portion to 7, another portion to 8. For you do not know what evil. He's talking about the principle of the intangibles. Because with the intangibles, you have, are we together? With the intangibles, unlike digging, where if I'm working for you if I work 30 days, you give me what? 30,000 naira. If I work 60 days, you give me what? 60,000 naira. We can predict. It's predictable. With the intangibles, it's not really predictable. So you have to give a portion to 7, another portion to 8. You have to keep doing it. Because you see in one of the verses there, it says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. They empty themselves. Because with the intangibles, you are not the one that actually decides the price that needs to be paid for the thing to happen. With the tangibles, it's a deal. 30,000, 60,000. We have already struck a deal. But with this other one, it is a trust. You are trusting the system. So you have to keep giving until the system responds to you. Amen. So he said, give a portion to. And this is where a lot of Christians don't. This is where a lot of Christians get tripped. Because when a man is praying, Rev, sir, it will be easier if God tells us that if you pray 1 hour, I'll give you 10,000 naira. That means as you are praying, when you just do 1 hour, you're like, 10,000. Kabaye. You pray after 1 hour, you're like, ping, ping. Kabaye. Some people not stop praying, though. Reverend Tukula, I have to come and tell you, come. It's not just pray. Look, we have to do other things in life. It means 24 hours, that's 240k, man. We'll stay here. You know what I want to really say? You know that thing they used to say in the world? We live here. We are not.
But you know, you might be laughing, right? But prayer is much powerful than that. Your logic has to assent to this.
Hey,
you understand what I just finished saying? It has to become your logic. Logic. That's it. When in your prayer, it has to become a natural thing that you are knowing that you are not wasting time. You are gaining moments. It has to become your logic. Your logic. It has to become your logic. It has to become your logic. Your own logic. You see, so give a portion to seven, another portion to eight. You see, in Acts 12, the Bible says that they took James, killed him, vexed certain of the churches. And the Bible says that the church started doing what? Started praying continually for him. They prayed. Finally, Peter showed up. Now, you need to understand this. The way God sees things in capsules or in quantum leaps. Amen. Let me break down my English. The way God sees things, God wants to do something there. He doesn't start something and then checks at the middle whether he can complete it. He does everything together. So when God wants to bless you, he blesses you in quantums. That means that he'll carry the whole package and dump it on you. It means that when a person is praying for a particular thing, your prayer is like the arrowhead. In the military, arrowhead is the head of the weapon. That's when the missile head has a head. That's what points to the target. Right? So your prayer is what points to the target. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think. That means that if I'm praying to God, and that's one of the things you need to understand about prayer. Prayer is intangible and God works with quantums, meaning that the same thing you see then in Acts 12, they were just praying for Peter, but the real problem was not Peter, the real problem was Herod. In the latter part of that verse, the Bible said that Herod fell down and died, and then there was great peace. So, all those moments that they were praying, they were not just praying for Peter. God quantumized it and packaged it to them. That's why you see that many times when you are praying for somebody to get born again, you will pray. The person will not get born again. Guess what? God is quantumizing the person's life. Guess what? All those people that they spend moments, hours praying for them, whenever they get born again, there's extra divine energy. Most of them enter into ministry. Check their lives. Because God had a bigger plan than that small plan that they were being prayed for. Another sometimes when you are praying to God, maybe you're in your room, you are praying to God, Lord, it's 30,000 I need to my rent. God, you pray 1 hour, 30,000 is not sure. You look God, you say, God, come on now, just between you, it's just 30,000, it's not much. 1 hour is not enough. What's it now? Guess what? What God is doing that He's quantumizing your prayer to become a landlord. Hey, you are taking quantum leaps. From being a tenant trying to pay 30,000, you are taking quantum leaps into being a landlord. Receive this words in the name of Jesus. Receive this words in the name of Jesus. You are taking quantum leaps. Quantum leaps. So, sit down, please. So sometimes you are there, you are praying. Oh God, it's just one small thing we are praying for. What is it between two of us? Sama, it is in quantums. God answers in quantums. It's a package. So that he that began a good work, when it has arrived, it has arrived. In Ecclesiastes, it says that if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. It says if the tree falls to the north or to the south, that place where it falls, that place it remains. It means that if you get the husband in the realm of the spirit, the man will not shift. He has to be married to you. Makatalaba. If you get the spiritual structure of that business, it cannot move to the left or to the right. That place where you have dropped it, it will remain there. If the clouds be full of rain. And many times this is where the issue is. A lot of Christians have heard the sound of the abundance of rain, but they've not been able to gather the clouds. Yeah. Sound of abundance of rain is that we have talked about the business. Everything, the proposal was good. Even Reverend Tokula said that the proposal is good. Then suddenly, somehow, things just start scattering. There is an ability, it's called the divine energy, that gathers things together. You're not hearing me. Things just don't happen. Scientists say that there is a liquid. That liquid is what they actually use the word. They call the word, that's the word, that's the original root word of what is called influence. Influence was thought of in the occult. They think of it as a liquid that makes people and binds people together to do what they need to do.
A person can have proposal. You have the friend. The governor himself is your personal friend. People have a bunkmate. But suddenly, the thing has refused to come together. It is influence that brings the things together. It is in prayer that you gather the clouds. The gathering of the clouds is the ability to bring the things that will make what will happen. There are people that have names of everybody in the idea is there. The business is there. But to gather it together. In Genesis, you see what God was saying to them in Genesis, in the Tower of Babel, right? Remember Tower of Babel? He said they were of one language and of one speech. What their ability was not, the problem, what God scattered was not just their language. What he scattered was influence, because the influence came from the language. They could as well, it was a spiritual thing. They could as well as just gathered interpreters. Or stay there until they can gather interpreters. But something jumped upon them, that liquid thing called influence, so that they all went their different ways. They could not gather themselves together again. Amen. When you see one lonely musician fill a stadium, do you know what he has? It's that liquid that gathers people. Life events get interpreted from heaven. What do I mean? If somebody is anointed as a musician to cause influence, life events will be interpreted through his own prism. That means that people will look at him and say, I just like the guy. Why do you like him? I just like him. I'm going for his concert. The person will begin to find explanation. Why do you like him? I just like the way he moves. Life's event will be interpreted through the prism of that man's lifting. It's not the other way around. That means that people will gather to him. Not, it's because they are seeing something that they are supposed to see. Hallelujah. So you have that business. That's food business. You want to draw the crowds. You want to draw them to you. Right? There's an influence. And that's what Elijah did. He gathered the clouds. Oh, thank you, Lord. He gathered the clouds. What Elijah said was that, he told Ahab, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hearing the sound of abundance of rain is seeing possibilities. You meet people now, they say, I have idea. There's something I want to do. I want to start this school. There are plenty I want to. But the ability to put it together is the influence, is the ability to gather the, that's the sound of abundance of rain. Bible said that he told Ahab, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Go and eat. But he did not go and eat. I'm entering my topic now. He did not go to eat. Because he had to gather the clouds. He had to gather. In Job 38 verse 33. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, you're going to gather the clouds. Say with me, I'm going to gather the clouds. That gathering the clouds is gathering the people, the circumstances, the situation, and including yourself. You know, you're not hearing me. Your own self, you are part of the cloud. In the Colossians, Bible said that, we're talking about Epaphras. He said that Epaphras prays for you constantly, praying that you will stand in all of the will of God. In all of the will of God. That means that Epaphras was praying that they themselves will carry themselves and enter the will of God. This gathering of the clouds also includes you yourself. It will gather you yourself, guard you up to do what you need to do. Are you following what I'm saying? It will influence the people that need to be influenced. Hi. He said, knowest thou, NLT, New Living Translation. Let me see if I can finish this. He said, do you know the laws of the universe? You can trust these laws. This is God asking Job. This is the court of the gods. God to God, asking another God. Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? This earth is highly regulated. The human beings, the circumstances, looks in, circumstances are, they are, you can move them up and down. You can change circumstances up and down the way you want. He said, can you use them to regulate the earth? That means that there are laws of the universe that you can use to regulate the earth. Laws of the universe. A man can use those rules to regulate the earth, and then he'll be at rest, and the earth will move the way he wants it to move. Amen. How do you do that? Next verse. Say, can you shout to the clouds? One version say, can you call the clouds to report to you? Can you tell the clouds to report to you? Do you know what that cloud is? The clouds, in Isaiah 55, It says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Right? The previous verse now says that as the rain falls upon the earth, as the rain falls upon the earth and causes it to bud or makes it to bud. That means that if you have a dry ground, dry season, nothing is working. Nothing is working. Guess what? There's a seed in the ground for grass to grow. Do you know that? But it's nothing, it's not gathering itself to happen. But once the laws of the universe, the rains, once they fall on it, it will gather itself and begin to do something. Amen. What I'm saying is that in that your company, everything that you need in that your company is already there. It's just the same thing that when you see a dry ground, are we together? The ground is dry. You see, dry season, nothing looks as if it's growing. It's as if nothing is happening. But guess what? The moment rain falls on it, what happens? Things start happening. Things start happening. The same way, it says that as the rain falls from heaven, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. What Elijah was doing was that, you know, it was God that said that if the children of Israel disobeys, right, he will shut the heavens. You know that? Yeah. Funny thing. God needed Elijah to pray that thing to happen. That's always how it happens. Amen. If God said the city is yours, you have to gather the clouds. If God spoke to you that the business is yours, you have to gather the clouds. You have to gather the clouds. So that gathering of the clouds. So Elijah was praying now. This Elijah was praying. He now said, go and check. They go and check. Say, it's one small cloud. It's not yet enough. He kept going what? He kept praying. What he was doing was when he was calling the clouds to report to him. Now, when the clouds are full of rain, when the clouds become full of themselves, when there's enough clouds, they will empty themselves upon your business. When they fall upon your business, the same way that the rain falls on the earth and every other thing is okay on the earth, it is just rain. When the rain falls on it, there is already seed inside. Amen. Are you seeing what? Are you seeing this thing? It's the rain. It will cause it to bud. And you see, many times, right, it is this kind of prayer that gets results. Elijah's kind of prayer, when God gives you an example of a man's kind of prayer, you should know that he's the established system that God has seen as the perfect example of that kind of prayer. Elijah's kind of prayer is called the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Effectual fervent prayer. His heart is inside that prayer. Amen. His heart is inside that prayer. Hi. Oh, Kalibali Shatayala. Fervency in prayer is not the shaking. It might be, the shaking can be an expression of fervency. But fervency is not the shaking. Are we together? Are you listening to me? Hi. Get this. Fervency is not the shaking. The shaking can be an expression. Fervency. Amplified say that it is the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. What he's talking about heartfelt is that the man's prayer, his heart is inside his prayer. His emotion is inside his prayer. Are you listening to me? In this kind of prayer, you have to, you enter into it. Are you ready for this? Kalabashaka. Just talking tongues a little bit. Hey, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. There's a posture in prayer. Elijah typified that there's a posture. Hi, listen, Sama. There's a posture in prayer. There's a posture. Because many times you see a lot of people say, why are things not happening? Why are things not happening? If you pray more, you will see results. I was telling Reverend Tokula yesterday that in the past few weeks, things have just been happening to me that I can't even explain it. There's an anointing upon me for open doors. When I came, I was telling my wife, I said, I've not been able to spend money. Everywhere I go, people just buy things for me, do things for me. You understand? I even got angry. I said, no. I instead of calling someone to come and carry me when I was in Abuja, I got an Uber to come and carry me. As I finished, I said, so how much is the money? So, God, we are doing promo. I said, what is this now? Is it that I cannot pay for something again? In this life, what is it? When you begin to pray, the circumstances of life will arrange you. I wanted to go to Jos to preach for Pastor Amir Welt. I just came outside to Jesus, one of my first colleagues. Just said, "Sir, I'm going to Jos tomorrow." I said, "Hey, okay, I'll go with you." You know, those circumstances, they orchestrate them. It's in prayer that you orchestrate circumstances. It's in prayer. And in that kind of prayer, your resolve matters. In Luke 16, where we read, the man said in verse 4, I've resolved what to do. You are part of it. The resolve is that you must make up your mind that this is what I want to happen. I have resolved what to do. There was one time I went to Port Harcourt to preach for Paris. And then I flew from Abuja to Port Harcourt. And then in the return journey, in my mind, I just resolved that I didn't want to pay for my flight. Amen. Resolve. I made up my mind. You see that man? Because you can question his resolve. You can come and ask him, what are you looking for? Must you take over? Yes, so the city is ours. Must the city be yours? The city is ours. It's not everybody that has the resolve. But you cannot be explaining your resolve to every person. So I resolved in my heart that, look, I'm not paying. So I got my boys to, I told them that I'm going back to Abuja. Guess what? These guys, they upskilled it. They went and got a private jet. Kabaye. The captain, first of all, the captain came and met me. He said, "Sir, when you're ready, we're ready for you." I said, "No scheduled flight." He said, "No, when you're ready, we're ready for you." As they escorted me, I went. When I got, captain saluted me. I said, "Thank you." He opened the door. I was the only one inside the aircraft. With the air hostess. Very fine air hostess. But my wife is finer than the air hostess. I have to settle down. You understand? And I asked him, "So what kind of coffee will you like?" She called different kind of coffee that I did not understand. I just said, "Just bring." Before I entered the aircraft, I called my wife to come and pick me from the airport. She left the house. She was in Abuja. Before she got to the airport, I came down from the airport, gisted with some people for like 10, 20 minutes. Private jet. Less than 30 minutes, we are in Abuja. But I was resolved. God works with your resolve. You have to look at that, your music, and make up your mind that this is how far it will go. Are you hearing me? You have to make up your mind. God works. In Philippians 1, he says, "And I know that these two shall turn to my good according to my earnest expectation and hope." Earnest expectation and hope. "And that in nothing shall I be ashamed through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit." That means that when a person is praying, you have to have earnest expectation and hope. In Acts 12, God showed me something. In Acts 12, the church was praying. It's not that they were backsliding. So why did they kill James? There was one small scripture in verse 5 of that place. And prayer was made for him. They channeled their prayer. They did not backslide. That continuously was not the issue. But in Acts, we see that they were praying steadfast. They continued in prayer. So it was not the continued prayer that was the problem. It was now that they channeled it for him. Verse 5. They prayed for him. That means that they moved their expectation that, "Lord, deliver Peter." That means that in the multitude of all your prayer, you must channel it. How many members are you looking at in your church? You must have that figure that you're looking at. Don't listen to those people that tell you that, "No, you don't have." No. Listen, there's a process. You will have that figure set. This is how far I want that business to go. You need to see it in your mind. As you see it, you put the picture before you and you keep talking in tongues and have that resolution inside of you. You must have that resolution, sir. You will make up your mind. Come hail or high water, this is the way we are going to go. I remember last year I was supposed to go for a PhD last year, and somehow it was not approved. Amen. And then this year I was in my room. I was thinking, this thing has to be approved now. I was thinking. And this is where I got this resolve issue from. God told me that the moment you make up your mind that this is what you want, outside of any other thing, you will see it. I resolved in my heart. And you know, I was in Lagos with Reverend Man Okpara, and then we went to a mutual friend's church. And then as Reverend Okpara was ministering, was talking about Jesus praying and all that. And then the Holy Ghost told me that this thing that we're doing, it will take 9 hours of praying. That's this release I wanted from the Air Force to go and do the PhD. Amen. So I got to my house, was praying two hours, you know, here and there prayer. But I knew that it would not work. There's a posture in prayer. Elijah put his head in between his laps. I can't do it. But that is the posture. he shuts out every other thing and puts, there's a posture. It's called focus. His heart is in that prayer. It's not the kind of prayer that your mind is everywhere. No, no, no. That one can be edifying you. But you want this, you have to gather the clouds. You have, your mind has to be focused on it. Your mind, now, that focus on it, right? Your mind has to be focused on God's word. I love what Reverend Tokula put one time on Facebook. He said, you cannot have a negative mindset and enter prayer and be expecting a positive result. Mm-mm. Is that, you'll be see the picture of the future. Keep it there and keep talking. I put that picture before me. Stayed in that place. Kept that scripture. The Lord has blessed me. I will bless the Lord for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. I kept talking. So I pray in tongues and I switch to that verse. Pray in tongues and I switch to that verse. Pray in tongues and I, so that I keep my mind on it. It got in the, at the 8th hour, I bless the Lord for he has shown me his marvelous kindness, but I could not see the world a strong city. The city was no longer strong. There are motions in prayer. There are dynamics. Even you yourself, you know that the prayer has been answered. In this kind of praying, you yourself, we will know that I have taken the city. You will know. And it's continuous. Heartfelt. That means you wake up in the morning. That is called effectual fervent. Fervent is that it boils over. Boils over means that it is a thing that is inside your heart and is topmost in your heart. Every waking day, that's what you are thinking about. I remember Polynesia was saying one that at a point in time, he didn't know when all the buildings came up in Abuja. He was passing them from house to church. He was one day, when did they build this one? They said they've been building it since. He was not seeing anything. He was only seeing a vision, a picture. Christians have too many things that they are everywhere. One thing is needful. The greatest people on earth are not people of too many things. The greatest champions in football, the greatest champion in table tennis, the greatest champion in basketball, guess what the only thing they do? They stay in one court throughout the day and be doing like this. And that's what made them great. The greatest footballers, the only thing they do is to stay in the court and be playing football. It's Christians that are running all over the place. Jesus said one thing is needful. It's not everywhere. You're running all over. Mm-mm. Sit down. One thing is needful. You will stay your mind on it, with your mind on it. Oh, with your mind on it. When you're talking about Jesus, in the gospel, Bible said that when he went to Samaria, they could not receive him, for his face was set towards Jerusalem. Oh, how I wish we all know what that means. His face was set towards Jerusalem. He was going to die in Jerusalem. Hey, there's a posture in prayer. Do you know what it means by his face was set towards Jerusalem? He was a man on a mission. This is not the time to be chatting. They could not accept him in Samaria. Because as you are talking to him, his mind is in Jerusalem. Hey, he's no longer there. Or a robot said that when he is in meetings, even his wife does not talk to him. When he's doing his crusade, his wife does not talk to him. They have that arrangement. He's focused on the mission at hand, the mind. He's focused on the mission at hand. There is something that needs to be done. There is something that, you see, because God walks through your mind. Listen, if you understand this thing I'm saying. So let me finish my story. That's I stayed, prayed that in the 8th hour, the thing broke out. Finished that 9 hours. And that's how it happened. Got it? We'll be on our way soon. Amen. But we'll come for Faith Adventure next year. Amen. And the thing comes in packages. You know, so when I was praying for, that was not the only thing I was praying for. We're praying for other things. Other things that I did not know. Suddenly, the PhD I'm going to do, I'm going to be collaborating with NASA. Do you understand? It's rare. If you don't, NASA is space agency. I'm doing something on remote sensing and satellite. The whole money in there is in millions. Now. They're going to pay me like, we're talking about 60 million. Amen. And it comes in quantums. Yesterday I was with my wife in the sitting room and before we started driving here, and I sent her a text message. She said, why are you texting me? I said, just read it. It was an approval for 15 million naira that we'll be waiting for. Quantum
it comes in quantums. When you, a wise man once said that when you pray more, you ask why less. I'm yielding to your spirit. I'm walking in your love. Precious Jesus, I adore. Lord Jesus, I adore. Precious Jesus, I adore your holy name.
Thank you, Lord. We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.